This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. This year, the Freedom Film Fest will be celebrating 10 years of documentary film screenings in Singapore, and which has been co-organised by Singapore's Function 8 and, of course, Malaysia's Freedom Film Network. So, focusing on films that touch on often hidden or unheard stories of Singapore, this year's lineup has a mix of films ranging from The Marxist Conspiracy in 1987 and The Online Citizen, to stories about sex workers in Singapore, and also a community of heavy vehicle drivers in Singapore. So today on the show, I will be speaking to two filmmakers, Yusri Shaggy Sapari, the director of the film Trailer Boys. But first up, I'm joined by Jessica Lee. She is the director of the film The Shades of Love, which takes us on a short journey into the loves, lives and losses of sex workers in Singapore during the time of COVID-19. Welcome, Jessica. How are you today?
Hi, Julia. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me. So you are joining me from Singapore, of course. And I'm just curious to know, how did filmmaking become something that you wanted to do and something that you're pursuing full time?
It didn't actually. I kind of stumbled into it. I was very much a historian by training, have zero filmmaking background.
Okay.
And felt that, you know, history is actually all about, it's being nosy, right, about people's past.
Yeah.
And I think that's what filmmakers do, or documentary filmmakers do. So I got my first gig advice, just very curious, in Shanghai. I decided to work for them. And one thing led to another. And before you know it, here I am, and making films for a living, which is a huge privilege to be able to do. So it's something that I thoroughly love, and I'm grateful for, to be able to do every day.
Okay, and you're working for one of Asia's largest independent production companies, am I correct?
Yeah, so currently I'm heading up development at Beach House Pictures, which is one of Asia's largest production company, as you rightfully mentioned. And we do all kinds of international programming for big channels. I just finished producing Netflix's first Korean true crime series called The Raincoat Killer that is streaming on the platform. So that was quite exciting. But yeah, that's the kind of work that I do on a daily basis.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it sounds fascinating. And of course, you know, that's, I mean, you did get your, get a feel of, you know, filmmaking, I suppose, from what happened with this film, right? The Shades of Love. And I do understand that a conversation with your mentor is actually kind of what sparked the idea for this. Am I correct? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, in the work that I do, right, I'm always constantly working with very smart creatives. So it was a random conversation I had with a fellow filmmaker as well. And we were just, you know, this was during the height of the pandemic. I still remember us standing at the hawker center where it was almost empty and there was no one, you know, eating it because it was not allowed. Mm. And we were just wondering, we're just talking about frontline workers kind of putting their lives on the line during the pandemic, like nurses, doctors. And we're just wondering what community actually exists on the margins who are kind of doing the same thing in a way. And sex workers immediately came to mind because they literally, right, use their bodies as a way to make a living. And it was super dangerous for them to do that during COVID. So I was very curious as to how are they grappling and coping with what's happening at the time. And that kind of made me very interested to find out more. And that's when I decided I'm going to make a short film about it.
Okay, so this, of course, was made during the height of the pandemic, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, you were one of the, I mean, winners of the Freedom Film Fest Small Film Grant, right? And that's kind of like how this whole thing started.
Yeah, so I was just started recording on my own. And then, you know, the Freedom Film Festival opportunity came true, applied for it, didn't think I would get it. A few months later, heard from them. And I was like, this is great. And found out like I was the only Singaporean to get the grant. And that made it extra pressurizing. So I was like, it better be a good film. And the grant, you know, really helped in terms of allowing me to have the resources, right, to be able to then make this proper film. And that's how I got started.
Okay, all right. So now let's talk about how, I mean, what the film is actually about. I mean, in your own words, how would you describe it for somebody who hasn't caught it yet?
I think it is really about the lives of three sex workers as they navigate work, but also life in general. I think a lot of times we tend to think of sex workers as just sex workers. But as you and I know, our jobs don't really define us. And these women are also entrepreneurs. They are mothers. They are daughters. They are funny people with huge personalities. And they're also able to, they're highly intelligent. So it's giving more personality and characters, right, to these sex workers through their own voices, with the get a chance to be able to talk about themselves and their careers and their lives, which I think is quite rare often, especially in this part of the world sometimes.
And I caught the film and I loved how, just how open they were, you know, just how candid they were. And there was some sass in it. You know, they were just telling their stories, right? I mean, it's just like no holds barred almost. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Was it difficult for you to get them to share, or were they just quite happy to do it?
I think with documentaries, you know, access is always the key thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's ensuring that your interviewees or contributors feel that they are in a safe space, that they trust you to be able to treat the content delicately, sensitively, respectfully. And that takes time to build that trust and to build that relationship. And I think how I did that was, you know, very importantly, firstly, approaching Project X, which is the only NGO in Singapore that actually advocates for and supports sex worker rights. And to first go to them and say, look, as a filmmaker, you shouldn't be coming in and trying to tell a story without first understanding and working with the community. And I think that's super important. Mm-hmm. And so through Project X, I was then able to meet all these amazing sex workers and just spend time on the ground with them, sometimes even without turning on the audio recorder, right? It's just building that relationship. I think once, you know, they got to a space where they were super comfortable, then all the stories will come out, the sass, the humor, the heartbreak, right, the hardship. And I think that's how you get genuine stories. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And maybe you can, you know, for those who haven't seen it, again, you can just share who those three that are the main features of the film. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about their stories.
Sure. So I actually interviewed 12 sex workers and ultimately came down to three just so that we could have the depth right needed in order to tell a story of a person's life. Mm-hmm. And it was like 40 minutes. So there was little time to play with. But it was three sex workers, first Selena, and then Bunny and Sam. So Selena is kind of like the matriarch of the sex worker community. All these other women look up to her, and very respectfully. She's also a peer sex educator within Project X as well. So someone who very much advocates for sex workers' rights. And she is, you can tell from the way she talks, right? She's very much like, you know, in charge.
Yeah.
Bunny is almost like, you know, the youngest of the lot, right? And she has been in the sex work industry for quite long, but she is in the late 20s. And so she comes from a different perspective as well. And then Sam is your gregarious, super funny sex worker. And obviously, you know, Selena and Bunny are transgender sex workers, while Sam is cisgender sex worker. So it's also showing the range of sex work that exists as well in our society.
Mm-hmm. And when you were speaking to them and, you know, when they were sharing all these really like, I mean, this is very, you know, intimate and personal stories, right? I mean, were you quite shocked by, you know, some of the things that they shared, some of the things that they went through? I mean, what was, I suppose, surprising to you, if you want to call it that?
I think for sure. You know, previously I had, you know, made a short documentary on sex workers in India as well, in Kamithapura, which is one of the biggest red light districts in Asia, actually. And so I had some context and some knowledge, but obviously when it came to my own country, I wasn't as knowledgeable. And it's always heartbreaking to hear stories of violence, of abuse, you know, and there were definitely moments of tears during the interview itself. And I think it will never cease to surprise me in a sense that these things can still happen in a modern society in that sense. Yeah. And that so much more can be done and has to be done, I think, to protect and support sex worker rights. So there were definitely those moments.
And I mean, you handled it, of course, very, very beautifully. You know, and as you said, you know, this is a subject matter which you needed to handle delicately. So we never actually see the three of them. You know, you sort of go take us on a journey looking at sites around Singapore. Am I correct? Sort of like enhance the story in that sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of sex worker documentaries, you know, try to either have that, you know, like black face against window pane, or they tweak their voice and those, it sounds like those kind of Barbie doll squeak toys. And from the get-go, I think, you know, myself as well as Project X, we were very, you know, they were very clear that they did not want to give up the identities of these women.
Of
because some of them, you know, their families or friends don't know that they're in the sex work industry. And so the challenge became that how do we still tell a visual story that's immersive and enriching and engaging without showing faces, right? Which is in documentary, like 101.
Yeah.
So I thought in the juxtaposition and the contrast between like an average day in Singapore, right, with these women's stories was quite a good contrast, because so many Singaporeans don't actually know much about sex work or sex workers in our country as well, you know, as opposed the only thing that they do know would be, you know, what's in the news, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually unsavory and negative. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that this contrast between like an average day in Singapore, we start off with the birds chirping, people going to their wet marketing, right, to the playground and all that. tries to normalize and humanize these sex workers, I think, and I hope at least. And so there was an intention with those visuals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And of course, sex work is frowned upon, right? I mean, both here and in Singapore, you know, this is not an easy topic or subject matter to tackle, right? I mean, the film came out last year, right, in the midst of the pandemic. What were the sort of reactions that you got when it was first screened, you know?
It was super interesting. So when it first premiered, my own parents watched it and they were surprised. Like they'd never known about this side of Singapore as well. And they were pleasantly surprised. And I thought that was quite nice because I think generationally as well, right? Oftentimes the older generations tend to, and this is generalizing, but they tend to have a more negative point of view towards sex workers. And it's not because they are malicious about it. I think it's just ignorance and not knowing much about this world. And then, it was amazing that we actually got sex workers from Malaysia, teachers, from different parts of Asia who actually reacted and said, oh my gosh, this is so interesting. Can we use this for a curriculum? I know that there were some sex workers in Sabah who amazingly watched the film and then decided to make their own documentary, which I'm sure is 10 times better. And I think that is just, inspirational for me as a filmmaker, but hopefully, that this film doesn't just exist as art, but has some kind of positive impact, no matter how small that may be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for me, it was really interesting to hear. And I mean, I'd read about it overseas as well. And but it also how, some of their clients were trying to take advantage of the COVID-19 situation to put them in even more dangerous situations, right? Because there was a shortage of work as such, right? And they were forcing them to do things that, they wouldn't necessarily do because of that situation. It was terrible, the kind of exploitative behavior.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the pandemic basically ravaged the whole business, as it did many, many industries, right? But I think particularly sex work, because it's human interaction.
Yeah.
And you have clients who are very understanding, but then you also have clients who try to make use of that, yeah, which is horrible, to say the least. And how these women actually had to persevere, right? How do you actually get through this? How they actually came together, supported each other, formed a community in order to tide through this super difficult time. Because not forgetting that sex workers in Singapore aren't just Singaporeans, right? We also have foreign sex workers coming to Singapore from different countries. Mm-hmm. And so them being stuck in lockdown in Singapore, how do they then, deal with all those, physical but also very mentally exhausting situation? Mm-hmm. So for sure, the pandemic was once in a lifetime kind of shock to the system, but also some of the older sex workers had gone through SARS, and so they also remember a period in their lives where it was super it was dangerous, their jobs were hanging on the line, and so they kind of advised the younger sex workers thinking, go, don't worry, we've been through that, we can survive this together. So that was also super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating, it's very short, but there's so much packed into it, which I really, really loved. But I can imagine some of our listeners thinking like, ugh, I'm not going to watch something that's about sex workers. How would you like to change their mind? What do you hope, what is your sell to them? And what is your hope that they will take away, after watching it?
Well, I think my pitch to my grandma was like, it's not about sex workers. It's a pretty doc. It's a pretty film. And that's how I kind of tricked her into it. So I'm not sure if that will work for your listeners. But it genuinely isn't about sex workers. I mean, they talk about sex, right? They talk about their work. But so much of it is also about their lives and the people they love, and their own background and their own backstory. And I think it's so important, that before we judge or perceive someone as such, to first just give them a shot and listen to the story, right? Mm-hmm. And then come to your own conclusions, for sure. But I think the way I would pitch it is, it's just 14 minutes of your time. In a world of Netflix streaming and YouTube, I'm long time. But, if you are even slightly curious, I think, why not take a little peek and see whether that might interest you.
Okay. All right. That's a great pitch right there. And of course, the film is being screened on the 12th of December from 5 to 6:15 p.m. Am I correct? But besides the film, there's also going to be a reaction video. Am I correct? And there's also a panel discussion. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So this Sunday, to commemorate the 10-year anniversary, we are having a film film festival event. And one of the films that we screen is The Shades of Love. And what I've done off the back of it is actually interviewed two more sex workers. actors on their reaction to the film itself. So they gave some very interesting insights, which I thought was quite cool. And then we'll have a panel session to discuss, you know, the film, but also take any questions that the audience might have. So if you watch the film and you're curious to find out more, do tune in and do feel free to ask us more questions, and we'll be happy to answer them.
Mm-hmm. And there's a panel after that. That's including. Is that the panel?
It's the panel. Okay. So that's the panel. It'll be myself with hopefully some of the sex workers, and you know they can give you know an even better account if you've got any stories, more stories from or more questions from the film.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. You know, can't wait. I hope people, you know, tune in and join the festival. So, yeah, and all the best to you. You know, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Julia. This is lovely. Thank you.
So that was Jessica Lee, the director of the film The Shades of Love, which will be screened at this year's Freedom Film Fest Singapore. But don't go anywhere, because after this quick break, I'll be speaking to Yusri Shaggy Sapari, the director of the film Trailer Boys. Keep it right here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
My mom called my father to come back home. I was like, oh, I just cry only. I say, sorry. Oh. My parents wasn't physical. They were very emotional about that. But then inside my heart, like, oh, it was so good, so lah. I don't need to hide, really. It's tiring to hide.
Some may say, oh, I'm not ashamed of you. You don't know what. It's all talk.
Time to work. You don't work, you got no money. When you got no money, you got nothing to spend on. And you got nothing to spend on, what's life? I'm driving a company vehicle. In order for me to have my own vehicle, I need to do whatever they want me to do. That's the whole point of why we work in a company. They have our own vehicle. Some people, they don't want to work extra. So when the company start to disturb them, then they will start making noise. The fact is that when a company gives you a vehicle, they have the right to ask you to work this day, this day. It's actually true, lah, right? Sometimes I'd rather go out and work rather than sitting at home and rest. For me, my body's too used to working. Even if it means Monday to Sunday, at least I'm trying my best to find something to do.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. And today on the show, we're looking at some of the films that will be screened at this year's Freedom Film Fest, but over in Singapore. So before the break, I spoke to Jessica Lee, the director of the film The Shades of Love. But now joining me is Yusri Shaggy Sapari, and he's the director of the film Trailer Boys. So Trailer Boys follows the journey of Irfan, a key member of Abam Abam Trailer Singapura, which is a community of heavy vehicle drivers from Singapore. And it's basically a look into their live. So Yusri's going to tell me more. Welcome, Yusri. How are you today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Okay, lovely to have you on the show. And I just want to say right off the bat that I really enjoyed Trailer Boys. You tackled a lot of different things in it, but it was such an enjoyable watch, you know, just a short film. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And I can't wait to talk to you more about it. But before we get to talk about the film, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, I read this and I'm quoting here that you are a professional kepo using the medium of recorded video to explore stories of people. And I understand your grandmother was one of your very first subjects in this pursuit of this passion. Am I correct?
Yes, she was one of the first people that I would say I disturbed to explore this medium of recording. Always been very technical since I was a child. We had very few toys, so something as simple as a tape recorder provided me endless amount of fun growing up. Since then, as the technology evolved, I also adapted. And eventually, I realized that I could express myself using the medium of video. So that is the main way in which I express myself and also earn my living till today.
Okay. And you're interested in telling people's stories, right? I mean, I think you wanted to study journalism, or you did study journalism, and that was something that you were interested in as well?
In the beginning, I wanted to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. I realized that to have more freedom in expressing myself, I think being an artist or a filmmaker was the path that was best suited to me at the time.
Okay. All right. And let's talk about Trailer Boys. Yeah. So I guess, you know, for somebody who hasn't seen it yet, how would you describe what it's about? And tell me why you wanted to sort of tackle a topic like this.
Well, Trailer Boys is like a day in the life of a local truck driver in Singapore. Mm-hmm. Usually when we say truck driver, most people would think that we're dealing with an older gentleman. But one of the big surprises in the movie is that the truck drivers in the film are all young. So what is in the life of a young truck driver and what do they have to do? You know, we go to the store and food and all our products are magically there. We don't think that there was someone behind it, you know, stacking all the products for us into the shelves, you know, before we came to the store. So it's kind of like pulling back the curtain and showing that there is a human behind all these products that we know and love, working tirelessly just for us. Some, for example, in the story, Irfan delivers ice cream. Such a simple indulgence to us, but that is how he makes his living. That's what makes him tired. That's what he has to carry day to day.
Yeah, I mean, that struck me as well, you know, how little thought we give to all these things, like you said, like that magically appear on the shelves, right? And in the film, you know, he even tells us how, you know, he has to arrange it to make it look nice, you know. And these are all these things that we take for granted, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. So I think what I was trying to do in the film is to look at the people behind all these things that we take for granted. Especially living in a country like Singapore, a lot of people know Singapore to be one of the most expensive countries to live in. Mm-hmm. So with that, we expect all our citizens to have high income jobs. But that's not the case. There are a portion of society, I wouldn't say whether it's significant or not, there is a portion of society living in the margins who are the ones providing us these luxuries without us knowing even. So it's good to have put a face to the work that they do. Yeah, not just put a face to what they do, but put like a, you know, humanize the job itself. Recognize that a fellow human being is the one that has to do these things for us. I mean, there's a lot of talk about automation and all that these days. Then we tend to forget that all this time, this work has been done by people, just like you and me.
For sure. And they take great pride in the work that they do as well, you know, which is something that I think comes across in the film, you know. Your protagonist, of course, is Irfan. And he you know, takes his job very seriously. He does it well. And, you know, he's really dedicated to the job that he has, which I think was lovely that, you know, that you portrayed or that you showed through the film. Was that something that you wanted to do as well?
Yeah, I wanted to show that. Choose someone who is very dedicated to the job and can give a positive impression to the audience. So Irfan struck me as someone who is charismatic and humble enough to show what this job is all about. And even though he's going through his own troubles, day to day, he still makes it to work, get this job done. And for some reason, I don't know how to explain it, but when you look at someone like him, it's very easy for him to earn respect. It's very easy for Irfan to earn respect from the audience. So I felt that he was a good choice to portray on screen.
Yes, for sure. You know, you immediately warm up to him, and yeah, you immediately like him lah, and really like enjoy listening to his story. And I'm just curious, how did you meet Irfan? How did you meet, you know, these all the people that you featured in the film Abam Abam Trailer Singapura? How did you hear about them, and how did you meet them?
So what happened before this film was made? I saw a modified truck drive past me in Singapore. I caught myself judging this guy I never met. Like, why is the truck so ugly? Why does he feel the need to modify it? So then I caught myself making these judgments, and I felt very embarrassed for making the judgments, even though I did not say them out loud. So I wanted to atone for my sins by meeting such people in person and then try to understand where they are coming from. So I'm very active on Facebook. Therefore, I made a Facebook call out and someone tagged the group Abang Abang Trailer Singapura on my comment section. And so I met the leader, Teddy, after that. at the local coffee shop. And that's when I found out what they were actually all about. So you thought that a bunch of young men gathering would be just out there to do bad things or like have just have fun, just simply have fun. But what I found out was that these guys were spending time pretty much building their own community, bringing their wives, their children together. And sometimes as they gather, they spend that time to do charity work, like food distribution and all that. And this was before the COVID-19 pandemic. During the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of people like to do a lot of food distribution to the needy and also the frontliners. But these guys were doing it way before. So that's how forward-thinking these guys are, and I respect them for that. So as what I realize is that if we disagree with someone, the best thing to do is to spend time with them and get to know them better. Because you will never know what wonderful things you can discover. And that's what I found out in making this film.
And I guess, you know, just following Irfan's story, I mean, he shares some pretty personal things that he's going through. You know, he gives us a sneak peek into his home. And you can tell that they're not so well off. You know, they're living in a rented home. They can't quite afford their own place yet. He has to sleep on the floor in one tiny little corner. I mean, these were all sorts of like really heartbreaking stories that came out. I mean, was that a surprise to you as well?
I think I've lived this story for too long that I don't recall a time where I was surprised to find out.
Okay.
But I was surprised to find out that he was sleeping on the floor in the living room in front of the television. Because all this while, he said he had a room and he was sharing a room. I didn't know that what he meant was that room was the living room.
Gosh, yeah.
So when I found out that day, I was so taken aback that it will be better for me to walk in and join in on the go into his house. But I was so sad. I don't want to show like that vulnerability. I wasn't sure about the consent at that point. I wasn't sure the kind of consent that he has to give. I don't want to like force him to, you know, reveal too much about his life time lah.
Yeah.
But good news, you will find out when we are meeting on the screening itself. We will have a panel discussion. Irfan will be there. So maybe he can update us on his progress in life. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I look forward to that. But just going back to the film, right? I mean, so besides Irfan, of course, we meet other drivers as well, right? And there's, you know, some of the experiences that they shared that they are not really taken seriously, or they look down upon, or I guess they just face, you know, some maybe unconscious discrimination, conscious and unconscious. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
The tendency is, especially in a country like Singapore, where it's a city state, majority of the people are highly educated. So what ends up is that people who do manual labor, such as driving, tend to be significantly less educated than the rest of society. So it's very easy for us to assume that they are less intelligent than us or less capable than us. Which is quite sad, because there are many ways for us to measure intelligence lah.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't attain a certain educational level. Not attaining a certain education level might be because of family background or house issue or responsibilities at home, we don't know.
Yeah.
So in terms of discrimination, there is the, because they're not part of the larger society, the way they speak, the way they present themselves might not be the same as their quote-unquote more educated counterparts. So it's very hard for them to relate to the rest of society in that way. So they form their own community to be happy and to thrive.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that comes through, right? That they form this bond and they sort of look after each other and they truly enjoy each other's company. They found their own little community as such, right? Through this group, which is really nice. The film was made back in 2018, right? So, you know, just a couple of years or 3 years down the road, how do you feel looking back at it? Yeah, any thoughts about how it holds up in today's climate, basically?
I think this short film manages to be ahead of the time in a way,
mm-hmm.
because after the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of people realize that our lives in civilized society has a lot owed to people who do manual labor for us. Delivery riders are given more credit these days about how they help bridge the gap between the merchants and the homes
mm-hmm.
through their delivery services. So during the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a lot of funding, a lot of interest in Singapore to create content related to appreciating frontline workers, appreciating people such as delivery riders.
Mm.
However, I'm not so sure if they are able to create something that is as intimate as what was we were able to do with Trailer Boys, because the cycle of creating films in Singapore is very fast. Trailer Boys took more than a year to create.
Okay.
And within that year, it's not just about rolling the camera, you see. It's also about building the relationship, building the trust with the group members. And I think with COVID-19, it's very difficult for us to spend time face-to-face together to mm-hmm. build that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the content being made during the COVID-19 pandemic, even though it's about frontliners and all that, it might be a touch and go kind of thing compared to how we were able to make films previously, which we could just hang out. And honestly, as someone who loves to watch content, it's been quite disappointing to see like people trying to honor our frontliners, but I'm not sure if what they are doing is meaningful also, because a lot of the issues frontliners are facing are systemic lah. It's not something that individual people can solve, and you can't solve it by giving away thank you cards or clapping for them or giving them a packet of chicken rice, you know.
Yeah.
That's not how you solve the problems that our frontliners are facing. But at the same time, I think everybody is trying to live, you know, strap their boots and like fight through this pandemic and trying to open up safely. For Malaysia, for Singapore, you know, we have our own VTL together now. So
Hopefully
all this will help us recover economically, and the effects will trickle down to all the people who have worked so hard for us behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was watching, I was like, wow, this is really quite ahead of its time, you know, because like you said, you know, when once the lockdowns happened and the pandemic hit, that's when suddenly, our delivery drivers, they are the frontliners, you know, suddenly there was all this clapping and all of that, as you said. So this was definitely, ahead of its time and really, yeah, really a lovely look at, you know, the lives of, you know, people who make the country run, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that delivery is like, or transportation on vehicles, is like the blood and we humans are the oxygen in the society.
Mm-hmm.
So without all the different drivers, you know, taxi drivers, bus drivers, truck drivers, van drivers, society will not run as well as it does today. Even train drivers, MRT, you know, LRT, all this require humans behind them.
Yeah.
To operate, and society relies on these people, so it's good to recognize them.
Definitely. I guess, you know, for anybody who's going to come to the film for the first time in this context, right, in today's context, what do you hope that they will take away from it?
I think when we watch movies, it is a time for us to take a break from our lives. So when you watch Trailer Boys, I just want the audience get to know someone new in the form of Irfan, get to know someone new from outside their circle and know what it means to be different from you. And open your heart and open your ears, open your eyes to listen to what they have to say and for them to share their struggle with us. So that's all I want. I don't really want people to change their mind at all. I don't want people to learn something new. I just want people to open their hearts and listen. You don't have to have the right answers all the time.
Yeah.
All we need to do is to feel
what others are feeling. I think the changes that a lot of people hope to make will happen as the emotions are stirred first.
Yeah. Like the whole theme of the Freedom Film Fest, you know, basically to offer these hidden or often unheard stories of Singapore, right? So just to have these stories heard. I mean, whatever you take away from it, go ahead, but at least hear these stories, right? Know about these stories, about what's happening amongst us, pretty much, yeah?
Yeah, I don't really want the audience to feel pressured to do anything.
Yes, of course.
Because I don't know. Because I feel like film viewing or film watching should be a pleasant thing. Mm. So if they feel... Because they're taking a break from their lives to spend time to watch a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at least I want them to leave the film feeling fulfilled in a way. Or learn something, like, refreshed. Yeah. And maybe learning something new about someone can make you feel that way. I suppose so, because humans love to connect.
Yeah. I certainly felt very connected to Irfan after watching the film. So
That's great.
And I really hope that people will go watch it. And of course, it's being screened this Sunday, the 12th of December from 7 p.m. onwards. But I understand, aside from the screening, there is going to be a panel as well, right? You mentioned Irfan might be there as well.
Yeah, Irfan will be joining us for the panel. Hopefully, he can update you guys about his progress. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people feel like, after watching the movie, also, what's happening to Irfan now? What's his life now?
Yeah.
So let's spend the panel time to find out, after 3 years, you know, how has his life changed? How has my life changed? How has my perspective on filmmaking changed, you know? So that's my hope. I did not rehearse anything with him. He's a very busy man. So I'm not sure as much as anyone in the audience is.
Okay, excellent. So that's happening on Sunday from 7 p.m. onwards. Well, thank you so much, Yusri, for speaking with me today. Any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Additionally, I would like to thank Freedom Film Festival Indonesia. I really miss you guys, especially Anna and Brenda. You guys gave me so much as I created this film. Without your contribution, I don't think it will be the same film. So thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. That was Yusri Shaggy Sapari. He is the director of Trailer Boys. His film will be screened as part of this weekend's Singapore Freedom Film Festival. So you can actually catch the films online. So folks here in Malaysia, we can watch it too. Ticket prices range from $5 to $25. You just need to head to cloudtheatre.com for more information and to purchase those tickets. And if you miss any part of today's interview, with both Yusri and also my earlier conversation with Jessica, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Then how did you join Ababa Trailer?
How aku first joined was when aku ternampak lah Ababa ni semua start buat amal and stuff. So, macam think about it, why not aku start now to maybe give back to the society sama. Okay lah, semua orang nak buat salah. So, it's time for us to maybe make a change lah. Giving back to the society, as in duit amal, doing something good for the whole Malay organisation. Not only for the Malays, maybe for the Chinese, for other races juga lah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.